We are, as we lead up to Lent, we are looking at the story of Jesus and seeing just what it was that he did. And today we will be looking at some of the stories that he told as we look at the parables, a few of the parables from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Parables reveal to us the secrets of the kingdom. I'll read, starting in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll be skipping a couple passages. I'll tell you what verse we're jumping to when we get there. The first, starting in verse 1. Three parables that Jesus tells. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." And Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing and never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Jumping to verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this, your word, and as we hear these stories that Jesus told, so open our hearts that we may understand what it is you are saying to us, that we may indeed have ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how would you say things are going for Christianity? How do you think things are in the Christian world? We're here about 2,000 years after things got started. Right? Jesus died and rose probably in the year about 33 AD. So it's nearly 2,000 years. And how are we doing? On the one hand, you could say we're doing pretty well. I recently checked the World Almanac and found out that in our country, in the United States, 77% of the population identifies themselves as Christian. That's pretty good. It's a lot lower 2,000 years ago. Indeed, not only is this country one of the most Christian in the nation, you may want to quibble with those statistics, but that's how people at least self-identify themselves. Around the world, Christianity is growing explosively in the areas in which we have usually called the third world. Christianity has been booming. It's not been population growth. It's been through conversion. Christians are coming to Christ constantly in South America and Africa and Asia. In 1910, 82% of the Christians in the world lived in the West. And today, 60% of Christians in the world live in the third world. So Christianity is expanding through every culture. And worldwide, Christianity is still, by and far, the most common religion. As they measure these things, there are 2.3 billion Christians in the world today. The next highest religion is Islam, of which there are 1.5 billion, almost a billion more Christians than Muslims in the world. It's funny, it's not the impression you get from our own awareness, but it is what the statistics say. So in one way, Christianity is doing great. And how come it doesn't feel like it? At the same time, we as Christians, at least in this country, do feel like it's slipping away from us. We feel that we are under attack even. And as we move into this high political season, that we become much more aware of that, and that becomes an issue that is batted back and forth. And this past week, we saw the struggle between public faith and government as President Obama issued a mandate about birth control and then changed it after complaints. We see the continual pressure for us to legalize as a nation same-sex unions. We feel, and this perhaps most locally, we feel this, a sort of marginalization of being able to be a Christian in public. It's kind of a mixed bag, how it's doing. In some ways, even though statistics say things are good, it doesn't feel like it. Now, as you look around our own city and we see almost every church declining, as we look at our own history, it's hard not to feel that things are not getting much better. They're only getting worse. Well, to people like that, to us, these parables speak. And they tell us about God's kingdom. And they tell us the secret that the kingdom is not defeated and will be triumphant. First, people who read Mark's gospel were probably Christians in Rome. We think it was written to the church in Rome, or for the church in Rome, probably about 65 AD. If that's the case, and it seems it was, then Mark was writing this down for a church that was already experiencing great persecution. On one hand, things were good in that here they were, a church in Rome. Rome is a long way from Jerusalem. And there they are, Christians meeting. On the other hand, things were bad, because this was the time when Nero reigned. And the Emperor Nero used the Christians as a scapegoat for all of his failed policies. And it was during his reign, and probably just a few years before the Christians got this gospel in Rome, that Peter and Paul were executed. And to these people, Mark tells these parables of Jesus. He records these parables for them that they may know the secret of the kingdom of God. The three parables that I lifted out of this chapter, there's a couple more parables and sayings in there that we skipped over. These three parables are really the core of the chapter. You know, they're all kind of the same. They're all about seeds, about growing seeds. If you're a gardener, if you spend time in the soil, then you probably bring some understanding to this that the rest of us don't. And actually, our generation may be one of the first generations to not really be able to relate to this kind of image. It's amazing that God spoke in these images, that Jesus told parables in these terms about seeds growing, plants, crops, which every culture, every community, every nation can relate to, except perhaps now us in our time. These parables are all revealing, as Jesus says to the disciples, the secrets of the kingdom of God. After he tells the first parable, the parable of the sower, perhaps one of Jesus' most familiar parables, the disciples ask him about it. You heard that part of the story. This is in verse 10. Sometime later, when they were alone, they asked him about the parable. What did it mean, apparently? And he says this to them. He says in verse 11, he says, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." They knew the secret. And the word translated secret there, it's a good translation, but the word is a bit richer. It's the word we get mystery from. What they have is the secret, the mystery of the kingdom of God. And the mystery in the Bible this is why they translated it secret in this translation. It's not a whodunit. To us, a mystery is something you have to apply your thought and solve and figure out, put the pieces together. In the Bible, a mystery is something only God can reveal. So that's why they translated it secret. It's something that only God can reveal. And yet a mystery is something that God has revealed. He says to the disciples, "You know the mystery of the kingdom. But to everybody else, I speak in parables." Next couple verses, as well as the parable there, a lamp on the stand, and a couple of sayings that follow that, are all about the hiddenness of the mystery of God. But it's in these three parables about the seed that Jesus reveals that mystery for those who are able to hear it. There's at least three mysteries of the kingdom of God that Jesus is revealing in these parables. The disciples knew it. Perhaps they didn't yet know that they knew it. But they were with the first mystery. See, the secret about how God works, the mystery of the kingdom of God that Jesus was first revealing to the people, was that the kingdom of God had come in with him. A man went out to sow. It's Jesus who's doing the sower, who's doing the sowing. He is the one who brings in the kingdom of God. Why is this a mystery? Why is this unexpected? Well, because it wasn't expected. In those days, as we have had occasion before to notice, they were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for a chosen one of God to come and set things right. They were expecting a king who would come and reign over his people. Things were good in Israel. They had their land. They were able to worship as they desired. But things were bad in that they were still under Roman occupation. They were not a free nation. They were not their own nation. And they longed for the day, as God promised in the prophets, when God's chosen one, which is what the word Messiah means, when he would come and rule over them. And what they got instead was Jesus. In the words of N.T. Wright, a New Testament scholar, he said, "People were expecting a great moment of renewal. They believed that when the kingdom came, when the Messiah showed up, that Israel would be rescued lock, stock, and barrel. God's kingdom would explode onto the world stage in a blaze of glory." No, declares Jesus, it's more like a farmer sowing seed. The people love Jesus. They love to see him do his miracles. We've looked at those healings, those exorcisms, the powerful preaching that he was giving the people. And there were many who wondered if this man was not a prophet, and later it would even become, is this man possibly the one? But the leaders, the Pharisees, who we met last week over a healing, knew there was no way he could be the one. This is not the way the kingdom would come. This was another pretender. But Jesus says in this parable, this is how the kingdom of God comes. It doesn't burst on the scene with destruction and judgment, but rather comes and is sown among the world. And he himself is the one who sows it. Jesus came, lived among the people for a couple years, then was betrayed and crucified and dead. Yet he rose again. But of course, not all the world believed or believes that. For much of the world, Jesus was just one more religious leader who came and went among a list of many who have come and gone. But see, the secret is, the mystery is, that God really did enter the world in Jesus. He is not simply a teacher. He is not to be best known for his wise sayings. For truthfully, he had not much original to say. But he was the one who came and sowed himself into this world. The disciples knew who he was. They were getting it. But to the rest, all around, it was a mystery, a secret. Not exactly hidden, but missed nonetheless. The mystery of the kingdom of God is that Jesus is the one who brings it in. That he is the one in whom we find God and the only one in whom we find him today. But there's more. Not only in each of these parables is there a sower, and not only is that Jesus sowing his word into the world, but there is, and here's the other mystery, the big mystery that has bedeviled the church for years. The rest is going to come much later. The people in those days expected, and we even kind of still expect, you know, someday God's going to come in a blaze of glory and judgment's going to be, and when God shows up, everything happens. And they thought in those days it would be a kingdom established, and here Jesus, he dies, he supposedly rises, and that's the end. And then you just have these Christians around. And it's been like that for 2,000 years. It doesn't take 2,000 years to start wondering when the rest is going to happen. When is the rest? When is Jesus coming back? When is all that has been promised going to be finally fulfilled? They were already asking those questions in the same days when Mark was writing his gospel. In the second letter of Peter, written about 5 years, maybe 7 years before this, obviously while Peter was still alive, it says in chapter 3, he raises this question. He says that there are people who are around, he says in verse 4, who say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." See, they're asking the question, so what's next? It's been 30 years and nothing has happened. There's no Jesus coming back. 2,000 years later, the question is only a greater mystery. Each of these parables is part of the image of being sown and growing. There is a time of growth. It's a hidden growth. In that second parable, the second seed parable, it focuses on the growing of the seed in verse 26 to 29. The farmer sows it, and then no matter what he does, whether he sleeps or gets up, the plant just grows itself. It's on its own. What Jesus is saying there, and that growth is in each of these three parables, what Jesus is saying, and here's the mystery, the secret of the kingdom, is that even though it doesn't look like anything's happening, even though it even looks sometimes bad, God is still at work. The seed that has been sown is germinating, is growing, as he says, and the stalk is growing, then the head, and the full kernel. No matter what happens, that continues going on. You see, those people that Peter was quoting, and even today we are in the midst of this quiet time of growth. At times the growth is obvious. You see the plants growing. At other times, it looks like the ground is dead. But Jesus told this parable to remind us that it is God who gives the growth. the full coming, all that judgment, all that triumph, all that restoration is coming. But before it comes, there is a time of slow, steady, quiet, even sometimes invisible growth that God alone is doing. That second parable, Jesus highlights that the man who has sown it, he doesn't do anything after that. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. In the same way, the truth is, there's really nothing we can do to bring in the kingdom any faster. There's really nothing we can do to get in its way either. Jesus is reminding us is that the kingdom and its coming, God's rule in this world, is His work. It's going on under our feet, all around us, whether we see it or not. It's a mystery. It's a secret that Jesus reveals. The final mystery in the third parable, they all touch on this, but the third parable especially points to this, is that the end result of all of this growth will be triumph for God. The last parable is the parable of the mustard seed. It isn't the smallest seed. It wasn't even the smallest seed then, but it was the proverbial small seed that would grow into a big bush. It was always remarkable how such a big plant could come from a teeny little seed. For us, you might want to think of an acorn and an oak tree, or even a redwood. Point is that what starts small, even insignificant, will become the biggest and the dominating feature in the landscape. We're in the midst of the delay, the time of growth where the seed is in the ground. We never quite know what is happening to it. But in this parable, Jesus reminds us, and indeed even promises us, that there will be a day when Jesus will be known, where He will not be just thought of as a religious leader that some people follow, but that all will recognize Him as the Lord and Savior. There will be a day when the kingdom of God is known by everyone, and it is the biggest tree in the forest. There will be a day when God will be known as God. A day will come in the future when Jesus returns and the rest happens. But it is coming. That's a mystery, a secret that Jesus reveals right here. There's one thing, another mystery that lies behind all of these is notice. It is in the seed being put in the ground and covered by dirt that the growth begins and harvest, the greatness of the kingdom of God comes. As we move closer to the season of Lent, as we go through this gospel, and soon we'll be entering into Jesus' last week, it was by allowing Himself to be sown into the ground, dying in the earth, that the kingdom of God has come in. It is by His death that forgiveness has come to us. It is by His death that evil has been conquered. By His death that even death itself has been undone. It's a mystery how life can come from death. How we can be saved by Jesus being killed. It's a mystery that Jesus can still be alive. It's a mystery that He gives salvation so freely to all who would receive it. But it is what He has revealed to us. A secret that does not need to be kept, but indeed must be shared. Amen.